Riddle Me That is brought to you by Anchor, the easiest way to make a podcast. Use creation tools right from your phone and your computer, and Anchor will distribute your podcast to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. And it's free. And now, your host, Alex Riddle.
What is up, everybody? You're tuning in to the Riddle Me That podcast with your host, Alex Riddle. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about the heroics of Luka Doncic's game-winning three on Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers to even the series at two. We're also going to talk more into the potential matchups for the NBA playoffs and go over some of the highlights of last week's first round matchups. Gonna be a great episode. Let's dive right in. So last weekend, Luka Doncic put the team on his back, completing a 20-point comeback against the Los Angeles Clippers to even the series at two. I did not see this coming. I am a big Clippers guy. I have them going to the finals. But this Mavericks team has looked awesome. Led by Luka Doncic, Kristaps Porzingis, Seth Curry coming in nailing threes, Tim Hardaway giving you that shooting depth, even a little Boban action down low, 7'5" monster, who's just the funniest, nicest guy in the league by far. But it goes back to Luka Doncic. What did I just say? Luka Doncic. He hit a cold-blooded three in overtime on Sunday to even the series at two. Mike Breen on the call. Bang! Bang! That's right. He got the double bang. If you guys know the history of the double bang, the last double bang that was called was Steph Curry against the Oklahoma City Thunder like 5 years ago, where Steph Curry pulled up for almost half court, down by two, nailing a three for the win. Bang, bang, bang. Yeah, I'm going to give it the triple bang. Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, what's the hang? So many bangs. I mean, if you get Mike Breen to give you the double bang, you're in a select group of people. You're going to be around for a while. And that's Luka's intentions. I mean, think about it. Luka, this is his third year in the league, second year in the league. He's a young guy. He has a whole career left in front of him. And if he's already doing this already, just imagine what he's going to look like in a couple years. He is the future of the league. One of them. And it's cool to see that he's already producing in the playoffs. This is his first playoff series. So, I mean, this is huge for him. This puts him, he's already on the map. This puts him, you know, and this gives his team championship aspirations. But I will say, the Mavericks' journey is going to come to an end. The Clippers are too good to lose to the Mavericks this round. Not discrediting the Mavericks, but the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard, playoff P, who has not been performing this series, Marcus Morris, Lou Williams, Sweet Lou, they have too much depth. And they're too good to lose right now. This is a team that strives on defense, but also gets buckets. And with a coach like Doc Rivers, he likes to be aggressive and push the pace, but also recognize the defensive talent that he has on his team and knows when to lock it in. And right now, it's time for the Clippers to lock it in. Tuesday night will be game 5 of the Clippers-Mavericks series, which is tied at 2, I expect the Clippers to have the best defensive night they've had all season. They know their backs are up against the wall. They don't want to go down 3-2 against Luka. And I sure as hell don't want to see that either. I got Clippers in the finals, baby. I've been a proud supporter of the Clippers this year. I think Kawhi's going to have a big game, and I think playoff P, Paul George, is going to have a big game. He's due. He knows he has to be better. And he's going to put it all out there tonight. We'll see if the Mavericks can bring what they brought last game. I mean, they were down 20-plus points, and they came back and won. They're not going to be able to do that again against the Clippers. They're going to have to come out stronger and be more efficient early. They can do it, but I think the Clippers are going to have something to say about that, and I think it might be too much for the Mavericks to overcome. So I'm predicting that the Clippers take the next two games of the series, winning 4-2 to eliminate the dark horse Dallas Mavericks, who are a great story. Who, you know, if they ended up winning the series, I'd be fine with. You know, I would love to see Luka going all the way. But I'm taking the Clippers, and I'm still predicting them to go to the NBA Finals. Let's go to another series. Let's go to the Philadelphia Sixers and Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics complete the sweep yesterday, 4-0 against the Philadelphia 76ers. A really disappointing series for the Sixers, as even though Simmons was out because he was injured all series, they just didn't come to play. And yeah, Embiid did all right. You know, he did Embiid stuff. But even he was just, he was crabby, he was complaining. And the team just looked off. I'm not saying they weren't putting an effort, but I mean, they just, you know, they looked sloppy and they looked unmotivated. I'll tell you who was motivated. It was their coach, Brett Brown, who got the boot after the sweep yesterday. Brett Brown fired a day after getting swept by the Boston Celtics. Really disappointing for him. You know, I always thought he was a great coach. He still is, but I mean, he keeps, you know, the Sixers are trying to win a championship. And yeah, they didn't have the pieces this year. With Simmons being out, but at the same time, you have a short leash when you're the coach of a good team. And right now, he just wasn't getting it done as a coach. The 76ers, you know, strive off the Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid combo. When you don't have your guard, I mean, I don't even know what Ben Simmons is. He's like a forward as a point guard, but nonetheless, your point guard, it's tough for Embiid because Embiid needs someone giving him the ball. And he also needs some offense flowing. And there was no offense flowing from the 76ers cast led by Tobias Harris and company. Tobias Harris needs to step it up. My lord, he's getting paid fat and he is not producing. You have guys like Richardson coming off the bench. Or I think he's even starting now. He was nailing some threes, but you know, it takes more than a couple of tray bombs to get yourself back in the game. It was the real lack of guard play for the Sixers that really harmed them. For even a guy like Al Horford being your center, pretty solid center, but he can't do it without a guard. So if you had a Ben Simmons giving looks to guys like Embiid, Al Horford, it would have been a different series. But they didn't. Meanwhile, Boston Celtics looked awesome. After the first game, had Gordon Hayward leave the series with a severe ankle sprain, who's going to be out for a while. Instead of, you know, they could have gone into their shell and not play their best basketball. They played better basketball after Hayward was out, who's been one of their best players all year. Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, Jaylen Brown, all the boys were producing. It was awesome to see. They looked really good. They looked like a team that could win the whole thing. They have the pieces. They have, you know, with Hayward, they have a big four. But they have a big three with Walker, Brown, and Tatum. And they're a force to reckon with. They have a matchup now against the Toronto Raptors, who the Toronto Raptors steamrolled the Brooklyn Nets 4-0. They have the best offensive efficiency in the bubble. That's going to be one hell of a matchup. That's going seven games, in my opinion, if both teams are playing well. I don't want to go against Fred VanVleet and Siakam, but I also don't want to go up against Kemba Walker and Jason Tatum. I mean, this series is filled with stars. It's filled with depth. And it's filled with good coaching. Brad Stevens on Boston Celtics, the mastermind from Butler, really has his boys locked in right now, buying into the Boston Celtics way. And then you have Nick Nurse, coach of the year this year, just announced a couple days ago, who takes the Toronto Raptors team after losing Kawhi Leonard and making them almost Eastern Conference favorites, which is insane because everyone kind of just thought that, oh, once Kawhi left the Clippers, that the Raptors were, you know, not on the map anymore, which is not true at all. They are probably the best team in the East right now because the Bucks, who, yeah, are up 3-1 in the Magic, don't look necessarily awesome. I had the Milwaukee Bucks were my NBA Finals prediction. It's not looking great right now with how they're playing. I don't know how this series would go if the Bucks were playing either the Raptors or the Celtics, who they would play in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't know who would win that series. Because the Bucks first off have to worry about finishing off the Magic, which they will. But then they're going to have to play a Miami Heat team that just swept the Pacers. In which Jimmy Butler is on a mission. That Miami Heat team is dangerous. It's funny because, you know, the Western Conference is messed up on how good it is. But now you see the Eastern Conference matchups, the final four teams. You're going to have a Milwaukee Bucks team facing the Miami Heat. And you're going to have a Toronto Raptors against a Boston Celtics team. I mean, both those series are going to be awesome. And then you go to the West. And you don't even know anymore because OKC just tied it up against the Rockets. It's 2-2. So now you're going to have, you know, the East, it's funny because that's like solidified. And now you have a West where it's like, well, anything can happen next round because you have two series that are 2-2 apiece. The Lakers are up 3-1 on the Blazers, who are going to close out that series soon. The Blazers have been an awesome story. I had the Blazers guard in my Western Conference Finals, but I think that those dreams are going to be soiled as the Lakers have stepped it up the last three games, really showing why they're the best team in the league. So you would think that an LA Western Conference Finals is in the works, but as we talked about earlier, the Clippers have to get past the Mavericks first. Really going to be interesting what the matchups are going to be. By the end of the week, we're going to know what the next round's going to look like. It's going to be awesome. I wasn't sure how the bubble would unfold, but now seeing the pieces being put into place, these matchups are going to be awesome, especially with no home crowd. I expect a lot of these to go 6-7 games. So before you know it, it's going to be NFL season starting with NBA playoffs and just about time for MLB playoffs. So that's going to be dangerous for all you bettors out there. I don't know. You're going to have three different things to choose from. Lots of games. It's going to be sports paradise, everybody.
Riddle's rant of the week.
Bang, bang, what's the hang?
My Riddle's rant of the week goes out to all the haters and doubters for the Toronto Raptors. Toronto Raptors, if you can't see now that they're a force to be reckoned with, I don't know what to tell you. Kawhi Leonard or not, they are still the reigning champions. If first round's early exit of the Brooklyn Nets doesn't say anything to you, and how they won by almost 10 points every game, including on the last game, they had 100 bench points. Yes, the Raptors only play 7 guys or so, but they have a little depth. okay? And they have a coach who knows how to prepare a team. They have leaders like Kyle Lowry, Marc Gasol, Serge Ibaka, Fred VanVleet, who don't care what you have to say about them. They just go out and win. They're trying to win two championships in a row this year. Before the season, I wouldn't say I was a hater on the Raptors, but yeah, I did kind of mark them as, okay, well, without Kawhi, what are you going to do? And they quickly showed me that they don't give a shit if Kawhi's in the game or not. Because you got Fred VanVleet, who gives you 20-plus. You have Pascal Siakam, who can give you 15 and 12, 20 and 12. You have Marc Gasol, who's going to swap balls. And you have Kyle Lowry leading the charge. He had a little bit of an ankle scare last game. Not sure what his status is for the next series, which could determine the Raptors' fate. But assuming that he's playing, I'm loving the Toronto Raptors against the Boston Celtics in a 7-game series. Let's go Raptors, baby. Let's show everyone what you guys are all about.
GeForce Spotlight of the Week.
My GeForce Spotlight of the Week goes out to my Chicago White Sox. White Sox beat the Cubs 2 out of 3 this weekend, and they just wrecked them. It was a surprising thing to see, but the Sox have been hot, and the Cubs' offense has not been lately. So in that sense, it wasn't too surprising. But with the crosstown rivalry, it was big for the boys. Ricky's boys needed dubs, and they got them. And they got an insane performance from Jose Abreu, who hit 6 home runs in the series. He hit 2 on Friday, 3 on Saturday, and 1 on Sunday. An insane performance from Jose, putting the team on his back. They did lose 2-1 on Sunday with Yu Darvish on the mound for the Cubs, but you have to be so happy if you're a White Sox fan after that series, giving you so much hope for this year and their playoff aspirations. I mean, when you have guys like Luis Robert, Eloy, Moncada, Tim Anderson, Jose Abreu, I mean, that's like 5 guys right there that I don't want to play against. And if you're an opposing pitcher, you are facing all 5 of them in a row. And when they're all hitting bombs, let's just say it's bombs away, baby. For my Thickener League fantasy football updates, not a lot of action going on this week. Still in the preseason before the first week kicks off. I'm really, really excited to get to those first week matchups, but I'm not going to get there quite yet because we're still a couple weeks off from opening kickoff. But I will go to the recent activity that was taking place during this week. A couple pickups, Luke Boyd adding Robbie Anderson and dropping Alshon Jeffrey. No surprise there, as Alshon Jeffrey is so injury prone, going to be risky this year. You have Mike Nasser dropping Philip Dorsett and adding Mohamed Sanu. Not really sure where that puts your team, but you know, it's a start. It's a start, Nasser. You have Ethan Holman here with some big quarterback moves, dropping Tua, adding Ryan Tannehill, also dropping T. Higgins, and adding Ben Roethlisberger, who he currently has starting instead of Joe Burrow. So I think Holman's strategy here is, you know, going to see how Burrow performs first couple weeks, put the veteran Big Ben in there for now, and then go from there. I will give Holman credit. I did see some videos of Joe Burrow bringing the offense down the field, and he looks pretty good. He's a couple of the ESPN analysis dark horses this year to break out. So if Joe Burrow works out, Holman, I give you all the credit in the world. But definitely being conservative right now with Big Ben, I get it. don't know what to get out of Joe Burrow. But based on what I've seen from Joe Burrow right now from Twitter, he's looking like the real deal. So even though I might be onto something, not going to praise Holman yet, but I see you, Holman. I see what you're doing out there. And then we also got Mike Caputo's adding Scotty Miller and dropping Antonio Gibson. I actually don't know who any of those players are. So we will see how that works out for Caputo's. But that's all the activity for this week. Next week, we hope to get the commissioner, Luke Boyd, on the show. Get a little preseason speech slash message they want to get out to everybody. And ultimately just an opening statement to start off the league. So looking forward for the fantasy season to start. Can't wait to hear from the commish. For the flick of the week this week, it's going to have to be a new show I just discovered called Broadchurch. Broadchurch is a British TV show on Netflix. And it's awesome. My girlfriend Caroline found out from her friend Patricia, shout out Pats, about this show. And so then we both just started it a couple days ago. And I'm already 3 episodes in and I'm loving it. It's about this boy that is found dead the first episode right away. We don't know as an audience or as a cast in the show how he died. So it's up to two detectives to figure out what happened to the boy. And, you know, it sounds like a classic show. You know, someone dies, detectives on the loose, you know, trying to find the killer. But it's really cool because it takes place in a small town in Britain. And so it's like everyone kind of knows everybody. So it's like whoever the killer is, the town's going to know who it is. So it's really cool. It's eerie. It's dark. You know, there's a lot going on with the mom of the boy who, you know, she has a very suspicious husband who the first episode is out doing something that we don't know what he's up to. So is he a suspect as the killer? What's his involvement? It's really good. You know, you really don't know as a viewer what happened to the boy. Definitely makes you keep watching. There's 3 seasons, so I'm sure there's, you know, I'm only on season 1. I'm sure there's different plots going forward. So can't wait to finish this show. I recommend everyone hopping on Broadchurch immediately. For the bet of the week this week, we're going to take it to the MLB. And we're going to do something new today. We're going to go a little parlay action. That's right, I said parlay. For those of you that don't know what a parlay is, you pick multiple teams to win. And for the bet to hit, both those teams have to win. So if one doesn't, if you go 1-for-2, it's an L. So it's a little more risky, but you can put a little less money down to get a little higher reward. So it's going to go. The first bet I'm going to put it on is the Chicago White Sox money line. They are -240 against the Pittsburgh Pirates tonight, in which the Sox have Lucas Giolito on the bump. The White Sox, after having a great weekend, did end the weekend on an L against the Cubs. So you know that they're looking to start off the week hot against a really shitty Pittsburgh Pirates team. So I'm locking that in. White Sox money line. I would do the -1.5, but, you know, I feel like why risk, you know, the White Sox only winning by 1? I think they're definitely going to win, but you never know. They could go up 5-1, only win 5-4. Who knows in baseball? For the next pick, I'm going to do the opposite, and I'm going to take the spread of -1.5 for the Oakland Athletics. They got Sean Manaea on the mound, who's been struggling, but they're playing against the Rangers team that beat them last night 3-2, who really have no business hanging in there with the A's. So I think the A's are going to take vengeance tonight and come back with a whooping on the Rangers, who have Kyle Gibson on the mound, who has over a 4 ERA. So lock it in. White Sox, money line of -240. Oakland A's, -1.5, -120. Bang, bang. What's the hang? That's all the time we have today on the Riddle Me That podcast. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And I hope everybody has a great rest of their week. I hope Riddle Me That podcast can be a bright spot in your week, as during these pandemic weird times, that's all I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be a voice for the people. I love you all. I hope you guys have a good rest of your night. And I will see you guys next week. Riddle out.